You got a good hand.
Great hymn. My times are in thy hand. That's the subject of this message. This is a timely message. There's a message on about time and our times. The times of our life. Everything in this short existence. Thank God. We need to thank God our time. Are in His hands. And they are. God is eternal. God is, time is nothing to Him. Day is a thousand years a day. But we're creatures of time. We're so subject to time, aren't we? We actually live right now. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We just don't know. Subject to time. A very short time. Very short time. Day, man is born of woman is a few days. Just days. And full of trouble. Full of trouble. So scriptures tells us over and over again, reminds us over and over again. And that's how we begin this message. The time is short. Redeem the time. That's what we're trying to do right now. We're asking the Lord right now to redeem this time, to make this time the most valuable time on earth. And it is. This is time well spent. In fact, yeah, it's the only time worth spending. You know, today, that's what we're in right now. Today, aren't we? And today is a day of salvation. Right now, salvation is preached. Right now, you're hearing the message today. The day of salvation. Wouldn't that be something if the Lord, somebody was born today? Start living and never die. That's what we're going to talk about today. Ecclesiastes means the preacher. What a premium God puts on preaching. How God elevates the office of preacher. Solomon was a king, small k. But he puts a capital P on preacher. Why? This is life or death. And the preacher. It begins, this book begins, look at chapter 1, the words of the preacher, verse 1, son of David, king, small k, in Jerusalem. And it begins this way, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath the man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? And the whole book goes on to show us that you do this, you do that, you accumulate this, you accumulate that. You go through these times and all, when it's all over, it's vanity. This book ends with vanity of vanities. I told you. Vanity means empty. Vanity means empty. You may get filled up with stuff, but you're going to lose it. It's going to be empty. It's all over. Vanity won't satisfy. Vanity means it won't satisfy. It says it will fulfill you. Won't do it. This chapter says the eyes never satisfy with seeing, the ear with hearing. This body, it won't fulfill. Won't do it. Empty. When it's all over, it leaves it emptiness. Empty. Look at chapter 11 with me. Chapter Ecclesiastes 11. If you haven't read this in a while, you need to read it. The whole book. Look at verse 8 of chapter 11. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all, but remember, the days of darkness, and there'll be many. And all that cometh is vanity. So he tells young people, verse 1 of chapter 12, remember thou thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, because they're coming. They're coming. Vanity. This is why the oldest psalm, one of them, Psalm 90, We just sang it. It says, teach us to number our days. I remember when I turned 15, I couldn't wait. I was a car buff. All my life, I loved cars. And we were talking about my oldest brother was, he had some classic cars, and he let me sit on his lap. And 10 years old, shift gears in his MG, his 56 Chevy. I thought, oh man, when I grow up, I'm going to have one of those. Well, I did, and it's gone. Had a bunch of them, gone. But I remember when I turned 15, I made me a calendar, a homemade calendar, 365 days. And I marked off every day till I turned 16, my wheels. I'm going to get my wheels. You know what? I'm gone. That's what I was looking forward to. You know what I'm numbering my days for now? I'm going to get my wings. And I'm gone. And I almost perished the first time. And I'm not going to perish this time. I'm waiting on my wings. Counting the days. Are you? Teach us to number our days. Teach us. This is not a morbid message, although it is on mortality. We need to consider our mortality. This is a message really on immortality. Because our Savior, Scripture says, our Savior Jesus Christ hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is not a morbid message at all. But for those in Christ, this is good. It starts out bad. It ends good. It's going to be sad, but it's going to be happy. Now the outlook for this world is bleak. But there's a new world, and it's brighter than the sun shining today. There's not even going to be a sun in the new world. It's going to be that bright. One bright and glorious morning. All right, verse 1 in our text, chapter 3, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes says this. To everything there is a season, a time, to every purpose under heaven. Everything is seasonal by the purpose of God. Everything is seasonal. We have seasons. I'm glad I live in Virginia. I'm thankful to live in Virginia. We get to enjoy these seasons, don't we? Beautiful. I wouldn't want to live in, well, I did live in Florida. And there was never a fall. Trees didn't turn. You know, ugly palm trees. That's all. No, the seasons are wonderful. God hath made everything beautiful in his time. That's what it goes on to say. Season. The winter starts out, doesn't it? January. The winter. It's winter. Winter has its own beauty, doesn't it? It really does. When the leaves are gone, you see every limb of the trees and all that, and you look out, look. It's just has its own beauty. But after too long a winter, it's cold and bleak. Starts looking bleak, doesn't it? Then what's next? Spring. Ooh, man, it's my favorite time. April. Flowers start blooming. No, the grass, my grass is turning green. Whew, couldn't come soon enough. See, the winter made the spring wonderful. Everything is a season. And each is set in order by God. The spring. Life springs up. Okay. And it's summer. Summer. Oh man, get out there. It's summer. It's summertime. You ready to go camping? Summer. It's over. Fall. That's beauty, doesn't it? Fall. The leaves are turning red and orange and yellow. And it's beautiful. Is there a more beautiful time? But you know what it's showing us? Death. Every leaf on every tree is going to fall to the ground and decay and rot. It's gone forever. And in the winter, cold. And back to spring. And back to summer. Isn't God wonderful? Wonderful. Everything's seasonal. Everything in this life is seasonal. Isn't it? Everything. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. You see, God had purposed all things. Everything is on purpose. Aren't you glad Aren't you glad you know that? Aren't you glad you know Him who worketh all things according to His purpose? And aren't you glad? We looked at this Wednesday. That all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. We've been called by this gospel. We know this. May the Lord take it from our heads to our hearts that everything is on purpose and everything is good. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's all good. It's all designed by our all-wise God. It's all on purpose. He's predestinated us to become like Jesus Christ, and so that someday we'll be with Him forever. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more sadness, no more death. Isn't God good? We got to go through these seasons now. And God has purposed every one of them for His glory, for our good, to bring us to Christ. It's purpose. Verse 2 says it's a time to be born, time to die. We were waiting on Francis to be born. Francis. Luke's last, probably won't be his last donor. Looks like there may be more coming. You reckon, Carrie? Hard to tell. But we were waiting on Francis, you know. It's a long time. And she came. Oh man, look, beautiful flower, gorgeous. I've never seen a cuter baby, unless it's my own. Francis, Hannah's approaching 40 years old. I'm sorry, but I've got to tell everybody that. It's true. You were born yesterday. It's just yesterday. Time to be born. Time to die. And it's just about that fast. You know, sooner born, then you die. Look at chapter 7. But here's what God's word says. Here is the blessed promise, believer. Oh, may this get a hold of us. Chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. I'm thankful that I was Henry Mahan's son. I'm thankful Doris Freeze Mahan's my mother. The name Mahan's going to perish. I want to be a son of God. That's a good name. I'll never perish. Ever again. And now look at this. Verse 1 says, the day of death is better than one's birth. Can you get a hold of that? I hope after this message we will. Day of death. It's not death to a believer. It's not death to a believer. It's birth. You know how we look forward to Francis's birth? And she's born. Oh, wow. All of Tracy's pain and all of our anxiousness and all is over in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. She's alive. Look at her. Beautiful. Ah, we're all glorious and all happy, happy, happy. That's the way it's going to be for all of us. Things, no more remembering. Look at her. She's beautiful. Look at him. She's beautiful. Looks just like Christ. Who wouldn't look forward to that? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. Says, look at chapter 3, verse 2 says, a time to plant, time to pluck up. Seed time and harvest. Gospel seed is sown, and the Lord plants this gospel in some, and what a glorious thing, new birth. And every plant that our Heavenly Father hasn't planted will be what? Plucked up. Rooted up. Our Lord came and grew up. He is the seed. And grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. But it said He was cut off from the land. Plucked up. It's seed time. Time to be born. And there's harvest time. Time to die. Planted. Plucked up. Who decides? The farmer. That farmer. Every plant shall be taken away, harvested. Are ye wheat or are ye chaff? That's what we need to know. There's going to be chaff going to be cast out. Look at verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. Notice the order here. Okay? Kill and then heal. Break down, build up, weep, laugh, mourn, dance. You notice the order there? That's what our Lord said who came in the Sermon on the Mount. That's a blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn. Time to kill and time to heal. I kill, the Lord said, I kill. Brothers and sisters, we need to get this through our head. It'll give us peace now. And we won't worry about thing. We won't worry about one thing. Things don't kill us, brethren. The Lord may send things, but they don't kill us. God does. He says, I kill. Had so and so get this. God sent it. That'll be free from fear. Stop. Don't give yourself as much power as God did. He said, I do this. I kill. I heal. Don't give doctors the credit. They're in his hand. They might heal, they might not. Right? He might use it, might not. I kill, the Lord kills, the Lord wounds. Now, the principal application of this is spiritually. What's the first thing God does to his people? He kills them. Christ, Paul said, when the commandment came, I died. When the gospel came, the law came, I died. So I was alive without the law. No, you weren't, Paul. You were dead in sin. And the law came and says, you're a sinner. You're dead in sin. He died. He's made alive. And one is wounded and healed. All the Lord kills, he wounds by his word. He makes alive by the same word. I pray. Barnard used to say this. He was an evangelist. He traveled around preaching everywhere. Fiery evangelist. And he used to say, I'm not trying to get people saved. I'm trying to get them lost. So that's the first thing that's got to happen. I'm trying to kill. I'm trying to kill. Kill. Heart's got to be pierced. We've got to die. See Christ. We've got to see ourselves bitten by that serpent, don't we? Then we'll look to Christ crucified on the pole and be healed. Alive. I kill. I make alive. Physically speaking, we get sick and we ask the Lord to heal, don't we? We always do. We love people. We ask the Lord. Pray for the sick. We're told to. And we do, and ask the Lord to heal, and sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. Doesn't he? Now my times are in his hands, aren't they? Times of health, times of sickness. He purposed everything, and nothing can stop it. And he don't want it to. You don't want it to. Our times are in his hands. It's all on purpose. We need to realize it. We get sick and we pray for healing. A brother or sister, a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, a father, a mother. We pray for healing and the Lord takes them away. They die. Brothers and sisters, if they knew Christ, they're healed forever. They're healed. I know what, that's part of the reason our Lord wept at Lazarus' grave. Got to bring him back. You know, Mindy said this so many times that she wouldn't bring her mother back for nothing. She loved her mother. She lost her mother when she was in her 20s. She missed her greatly, didn't you? Would you bring her back to this place? Not for anything. It says, I heal. It's in his hands. It couldn't be in better hands. We don't want charge of that. Look at verse 3. A time to break down, time to build up, break down. Right after the fall of man, it reads that Cain's son, Cain, Abel, we know, was killed. Boy, Adam and Eve, right after the garden, they walked out and saw their son lying in his own blood. And then Cain got married and had children, grandchildren for Adam and Eve. And it says that Cain's son, Enoch was his name. He started building a city. Started building the cities. And then men began to build cities. That's when they didn't need cities before. But they began to build cities. And they built cities and cities and finally came. But anyway, chapter 6, God says, I'm going to tear it all down. Everybody here has corrupted my way. And God sent a flood and washed it all away. Man began to build up, build up, build up. And God sent a flood, so I'm going to tear it down. Tear it down. And he did. Our Lord, one time, they were impressed with the temple. That's the disciple. Isn't this beautiful? Look at that. It's beautiful. Nehemiah and Ezra built this temple. Isn't it gorgeous? And the Lord said, you see all these things? You see all these things? He said, not one stone can we lift stand on another. What impresses us in this work? Lots of things. We're flesh. Lots of things do. Music, architecture, food, all this. Not one stone can we lift stand on another. There's going to be a time when we'll tear it all down. The whole world is going to be shaken, the scripture said. And Hebrews 11 says, 13 says, there's going to be a time where things that can't be shaken gonna stand. Where are you standing? On Christ, the solid rock. Can't be shaken. Built up. Time to build up. Time to break down. Time to build up. Brothers and sisters, God has been building his house, his temple, for years now. He's been building that temple for years now. We've been preparing a place for God's people. And very shortly, this world gonna be torn down. Folded up like a vesture and cast away. But brethren, we're going to see New Jerusalem come down out of the sky. Built by the hand of God. Time to build it. Look at verse 4. It's time to weep. Time to laugh. Time to weep. Go back to chapter 7. Chapter 7. This whole book is marvelous, isn't it? Chapter 7. Notice again the order. There's time to weep. It talks about death being better than birth. Verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Why, Solomon? Why? Because this is the end of all men. This life ends in weeping. But joy cometh in the morning. Time to weep. This is the time. Scripture says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Weeping endureth for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. You know, we've all had tearful departures, haven't we? Seen people depart. We've departed, those we love. We've seen the day that you took our grandchildren from us to that distant land, 3 hours away. It might as well carry, it might as well be 3,000. Oh, that was so hard. The tearful, you know, we lose, you know, the Lord takes those away from us that we love so dearly. Tearful. But if the reunion, what's a reunion like? I remember taking my Ed Ballard's daughter and granddaughter away from him, from Ashland, to come down here. And I remember the look on his face when I did that. At the time, I couldn't appreciate it. Adam, I couldn't. I'm going, you know, Rocky Mount. He's broken. She was the only source of joy he's had as a child. And I took her. I look back on that now and I wish I'd told Ed, I'll try to take care of your daughter. Time to weep. As tearful as the departure was. You lost your dad yesterday, Stephen. He's with the Lord today. You're going to see him tomorrow. That's how quick it's going to be. That's right. Smile. Right now. It's coming. As tearful as the departure is, time to weep, you just wait. The reunion. The reunion. It's going. Scripture says, joy unspeakable. Unspeakable, unbridled, and unending. No end. Days without end. Your mother. They knew the Lord. I'll see him again. Time to weep. That is weeping. A time to laugh. Oh, we're going to laugh. Isaiah, don't you love Psalm 126? When the Lord turned our captivity, we're like them that dreamed. In our mouths, we're filled with laughter. And they say, oh, the Lord hath done good things for us. And he goes on to say, those that reap in tears, sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those that go forth bearing precious seed, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with them. Time to mourn, verse 4, and time to dance. Time to mourn. Time to dance. Didn't our Lord say, blessed are they that mourn? Didn't he? Didn't he say, blessed are they that mourn? What did he say after that? They shall be comforted, as deep as the sorrow is. The joy is much greater. Where sin doth abound, grace did much more abound. Those that weep, oh, the laughter is going to last a lot. You know the old saying, those that laugh last, laugh best. So he tells us to weep now. Our Lord going to the cross, you remember what he said? And listen to Henry Mahan's message on that. Weep not for me. He said, weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. He's leaving. He's going back to the Father. Weep, but weep for yourselves and your children. You're staying here. I'm going to glory. But it'll be turned. Those that weep, those that mourn, it'll be turned to laughter. And those that mourn, they'll dance. They'll dance. Is there going to be dancing in heaven? I believe so. We're all going to be, we're not going to be male and female. We're not going to be, you know, there's not going to be sin. David danced before the ark, didn't he? He was so overcome with joy, the ark was coming home. He was dancing. I danced with my daughter at her wedding. Remember that? Remember the song? That's yesterday. Oh, you reckon the Lord's going to dance with his bride? When you come home from wherever, Karen, how does Caleb greet you? He's dancing. He wagging that dog wag all over him. When we see the Lord. When we see those we love. I'm not getting Pentecostal on you here. So there's a time to dance. Now dance. We're going to be so happy. See our Lord and see those we love. It's time to mourn now. Time to dance. Time to weep. Time to cast away stones. Verse 5. Cast away stone. Time to gather stone. Time to cast away. I plow in a field. When we first came to Rocky Mount, I didn't know why they named it that. I do now. trying to plant a garden. There's a stone every 6 inches. What are you doing with those stones? What do you do with them? You plow and you cast them away. Cast them away. Cast them away. Just keep casting those stones over the side. You know, every single human being has a heart hard as a rock, hard as stone. The Lord, the owner of this field, this gospel field, is going to plow it up. And you know what he's going to do, though? He's going to take some of those hard hearts, some of those stony hearts, and gather them back together and give them a heart of flesh. And he's going to call them living stones. He's going to put those who were cast away. He's going to bring the cast away back together into his building, living stones, as a temple unto the Lord for his glory. That's what. Time cast away. Time to gather. Look at verse 5. It says a time to embrace. Time to refrain from embracing. You know, the gospel embraces the repentant sinner. The gospel embraces the prodigal son. We're getting ready to look at that in Luke 15. Prodigal coming home. Oh, but the time when he was gone. Time of weeping. Time of mourning. Father mourned. The pain he went through, the suffering that he caused, the pain he caused others. Oh, my weeping. But more with the reunion. It's time to embrace. And when he came back, you know what the scripture says? The father saw him afar off and ran and fell on his neck. Welcome home, son. Embraced. The gospel embraces. The gospel kisses us. Oh, the gospel engulfs us and tells us of the love and mercy of our God, the love of our Father, the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for us on Calvary's tree. Time to embrace. But you know, we often play the prodigal again. The story of Jose and Gomer. He married her. She ran off. The story of the child in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 16. Cast out. He gathered her. He embraced the child, didn't he? Washed her. Clothed her. Embroidered her with embroidered work. Put a ring on her finger. Didn't he? Oh, he embraced her. I said, Leah, you're mine. You're mine. That child that was cast away, he gathered and embraced. But you know what she did? She trusted her own beauty. She got puffed up in pride and she left. Oh, so there's a time to refrain from embracing. And the gospel embraces us. But if we run off, and we do, if we play the harlot, and we do, if we get lifted up with pride, and we do, the Lord, we're going to feel his displeasure. We need to feel his love. We need to feel his presence. We need to feel that he loves us and has gathered us, don't we? But there's times we need to feel his displeasure. And we do. He's a God that hides his face. The message on the radio was, oh, did God make his face to shine upon it? And he has. But there's times when we don't give God a thought. And we run off after this world and things of it. So God hides his face. No, you need that. No. And then we long for another embrace. We need it. It's time. Time. Look at verse 6. It's time to get. Time to lose. You know, everything gotten will be lost. Everything accumulated will be taken from us. Man says this, better get it while you can. Now what man says? Better get it while you can. God says, with all thy getting, get understanding, get wisdom. Because the proverb says this, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one over against the other to the end that man will find nothing after him. Whatever you get, you're going to lose. Naked I came, Job said, and naked I shall return. I brought nothing with me. He said, I won't take anything out of here. Time to get. Time to lose. Time to keep. Look at our text. It says a time to keep, a time to cast away. Who decides this? What we keep and how long? God does. My times are in thy hand. God gives us things. And I say this to our young people and everybody, that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. This whole book is about that. That he enjoyed this, he enjoyed that, but he realized he can't keep it. And so it's vanity. It doesn't last. So he said, it's good. He says, nothing better at the time than to enjoy it. Enjoy it. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. Enjoy it. There's no sin in enjoying it. The sin is forgetting God. The sin is enjoying these things more than God. And if you belong to God, he'll take it away from you. So Scott Richardson used to say, don't hold things so tightly that God has to break your fingers to make you let loose of them. Because he's going to take it. He's the one that gives us what we have. The Lord gave. He taketh away. We only get to keep one thing. Eternal life. And it's life more abundant. We'll see. You're going to see. Only thing we're keeping. Really. We want to keep things. Anybody in here a hoarder? Any American that's not a hoarder? Our attic's full of stuff. Well, then after a while, we realize, I don't need this. No, we walk up there and look at what we've kept. We need to cast it away. The Lord, in his wisdom, and his purpose, allows us to keep things for a while. And he says, it's time. I'm taking it away. I'm taking. He gives us a husband. He gives us a wife. It's a blessing, isn't it? We get to keep them for a while. And the scripture says there's time remains where they that were married as though they've never been married. He's good. He gives us a good mate, what a blessing in it, but we can't keep them. They keep them. But if your maker's your husband, you see, we need to see that. It doesn't lessen the sorrow at the time, but it gives us hope that we sorrow not as those who have no hope. A time to cast away. Verse 7 says, a time to rend, a time to sow. Jeremiah said, let us turn to our Lord our God. Let us rend our hearts, not our garments. Let's rend our heart and turn to the Lord. You know what he'll do if he rends your heart? If you turn to him in repentance, you know what he'll do? He sewed you a garment. Old Bartimaeus, when he, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, he's calling you. He had that old security blanket, that old rag he was wearing, all gave him comfort and all that time of his darkness, his blindness. First thing he did was, don't need that. And that's what we see when the Lord gives us eyes and say, I don't need any of this. I need him. And he came, and I know the Lord gave him eyesight, but he gave him a new garment. Came in the garment. Like the prodigal. Clothing with the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. Time to rend, time to sow, time to keep silence. Verse 7. Time to keep silence. Oh, is now ever a time that the world ought to be silent? And God, in a measure, sovereignly, providentially, is just putting something over men's mouths. Looks like everybody could see. We all keep silence. This is what brought on these things. That the lofty looks of man shall be brought down. The haughtiness of men shall be stopped. Every mouth shall be stopped. And it's a time to keep silent. God's in the heaven. We're upon the earth. Let your words be few. Be not hasty to utter. The next chapter. Be not hasty to utter anything before God. He's in heaven. Let men keep silence. If they're going to say anything, let them call for mercy. Looks like the world will be calling for mercy, doesn't it? No, just as soon as this plague is gone, as soon as men feel some freedom, they'll start spouting off again, worse than ever. And then God sends something worse. It's time to be silent. We need to hear God speak, don't we? Who do we need to hear speak? God speak. Time to keep silent. And he says, verse 8, a time to love. Time to love. Oh, love the Lord. You who love the Lord, he says, hate evil. Time to love. All right, in chapter 14 of Luke, we're getting ready to look at it Wednesday night. He said, if any man love father or mother, husband or wife, son or daughter, more than me, not myself. Do you know what that means? Do I know what that means? That's what he said. He said, hey man, hate father and mother. Time to love, time to hate. Love is good, but not if it's more than God. Love is good, we ought to. Time to love our enemies. But then David said, Psalm 139, do not I hate them that hate thee. I hate them with a perfect hatred. Time to hate. You that love the Lord, hate evil. And then look at this in closing. The last line says a time of war. That's where we are right now. That's where we are. The believer lives in this world and there's a warfare going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. There's an old man, a new man within every believer. The believer is not a friend of the world. Friend to it, but not a friend of it. He said, you shall be hated. Believer is in a battle against the God of this world, the things of this world, the flesh, sin, flesh, the devil, all these things. It's a constant warfare, a constant battle, a constant struggle, isn't it? And it won't end until these bodies, like a soldier, lay in the grave. And then what?
Peace.
A time for peace. Now, who wouldn't want that? I tell you who wouldn't want that. It's those that are not in the battle. But those in the warfare, those that have this struggle, want peace. David said, I'm for peace. They're for war. He said, I want out. They don't want out. I do. Where's the time? Coming a time. It's coming a time when this warfare will be over. Christ said it on the cross. It's finished. It's finished. Isaiah said it long before that. The warfare is accomplished. Iniquity is pardoned. Sin is purged. And Christ said it on the cross. It's finished. And it's over. It's all over but chatting. But we're still here. But there's come to be a time when there is no more time. When time is no more. Peace. Forevermore. No tears. No weeping. No sorrow. No mourning. No death. Joy. And that's all I can say about that. Because it's joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Where Christ is. Oh, come quickly, Lord. Come into the hearts of those that don't know you, and come for your people. Come quickly. All right, let's sing in closing.